Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, real quick before we start this episode, we want to let you know that we are doing another live Confused Breakfast podcast recording Saturday, February 24th in Cedar Rapids, Iowa at the Olympic Theater. We're going to be reviewing Air Force One, and you know we're going to have a group yelling together of "Get off my plane!" It's going to be fantastic. Putting the link in the show notes, we would really love it if you check it out. Spread the word, buy some tickets. We do eventually want to take this show on the road, and if we can see that people really love attending these and that they buy tickets and we sell it out, that sure does make it easier for us to make the leap in the future. So please check it out. Saturday, February 24th, buy tickets, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Message us with any questions. Let's get started. That never gets old. Well, hello there and welcome to the Confused Breakfast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid?
Sure do.
It's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your house. But there was something truly special about borrowing your college friend Kyle's Ford Taurus to head to Blockbuster, picking out a movie by hand, and taking it home to watch with you. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte. Joining me, as always, two dudes whose window of opportunity to drink and do drugs and take advantage of young girls is getting smaller by the day. Sean Pryor and AJ Venz, how the heck are you?
I literally set a date where I can't do it anymore.
Yep.
Yeah. It's closed.
Store's closed.
No, it's closed.
Yeah, we went out of business. You know,
no, we get it.
My mom ingrained it into me to never start doing that.
Cool. Right. Yeah, right.
That's a good point.
You didn't go to a major university, college?
No.
Okay,
no,
then
no.
That makes sense.
Yeah, true.
That's where you actually learn to do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I never had the dorm room experience. You know what I mean?
And we will talk about that because today's episode brought to you by HelloFresh and Cedar Ridge Distillery. We are going to discuss one of the highest grossing comedy films of the year it was released, a movie most certainly watched countless times and endlessly quoted in dorm rooms and slumber parties around the country. Our first movie with Tom Green in it. We're, of course, talking about 2000's Road Trip.
Well, damn dang it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another nostalgic journey to the past with The Confused Breakfast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Wherever you are in the world.
It's the snare symbol.
Take it away, boys.
It's the snare symbol hit.
Will you just add it?
There's not.
I don't know how. I don't even know where that song came from.
Well, you can manipulate.
Lottie, are you a drummer? Can you help us out?
Hit it.
Well, if you are new to the podcast, we will be reviewing Road Trip scene by scene with a modern eye. But in order to do that properly, we must first discuss it with pure nostalgia. I'm going to start. I never start.
Wow.
I want to talk. I usually go to you guys. I know, right?
Will you guys take note of this? Timestamp this.
Wow. Listen, this era of movies, probably the age that I was at, I was 18 when this came out. I mean, guys, come on. These movies were made for me. I'm talking American Pie, Euro Trip, Van Wilder, Road Trip.
These hit you at the time
meant for me, and I saw them when they came out. Yeah. I loved this movie so much. Obviously rented it, watched it in the dorm rooms. This is the DVD era too, so everyone owned it. Everyone bought it and owned it. You definitely owned a copy of this on DVD. This was like a fall asleep at night movie kind of a thing. Just put it on, let it loop, call it good. I'm an 8.7 on this nostalgically. Sean, what about you, man?
7. Back when I was consuming movies like this, like I was watching movies like Tommy Boy and Black Sheep and like a lot of the Chris Farley stuff. This was sort of in the oeuvre of those films that I needed to see to, you know, be funny with my friends ever. And I never got to it. And so I watched this movie for the first time 3 hours ago.
Yes!
This morning.
Wow.
That is impressive.
Wait, really?
I had a shitty week. I had no time to do anything. And I got up at 4 or 5 in the morning this morning and did all of this.
That's a hell of a way to start the day.
I'm going to go ahead and predict it. It didn't go well for Sean.
That's a rough time to try to watch this movie. I'm going to be honest with you.
I guess we'll see.
AJ, what about you on this one? NA for Sean.
So non-alcohol for Sean. This for me.
That's so true.
It's sad. See, not even at 5 in the morning. My brand of comedy when I was growing up and like talking about like, oh, let's see, when I would have watched this movie going from middle school going into high school, and I had this very like, oh, I don't like this kind of comedy, this, you know, the sexual comedy, weird, you know, that kind of stuff.
Dick joke every day.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I didn't get it, and I felt like it was like high school bullying was like my biggest fear at that time as I'm about to become a freshman. I'm like, everyone's going to beat me up. I didn't want to watch these kinds of movies, and it didn't fit in with my kind of humor, and then I put it off. Finally, in high school, I did end up watching it, and it became one of those movies that I'm glad I watched it at the time that I did, because it started to make sense, and it was funny to me, and I was over the point of like just assuming that everything bad that happens in the movie is going to happen to me.
You finally got over that?
I was finally past that point in my life. So
what happens when we get to a bridge? We're going to have to ramp it. And I don't want to do it.
Bullies and quicksand are going to be everywhere.
They're
going to
be freaking
16.
Everywhere. If I turn left, it's a bully. If I turn right, it's quicksand. I'm fucked.
The girl I love is going to want to record us having sex, and I don't want to do that.
I don't know if I'm into that. What if somebody sees my wiener? Guys, I would say that by the time I did finally see this, I did think it was funny, and I watched it like several times after that. It just became kind of like I'm going to watch this movie because I want to see it again and kill it, basically. I'll give this a 7.8.
7.8. We do have an executive producer on the show with us today. His name is Josh Miller. He says, 2000. Seriously, if you were to ask me when this came out, I would have said 2003 or 2004. When I saw you post this movie on Facebook and the comments were saying this was 24 years old now, I was like, no way. I remembered it coming out closer to Eurotrip. It's wild to think this movie is nearly a quarter of a century old. That makes me feel very old. While I didn't remember this came out, I do remember seeing it in the theaters. There was that 5 to 7 year period starting in the late 90s of that risque high school college films like American Pie, Van Wilder, Varsity Blues, Can't Hardly Wait. Ethan Embry was much more palatable in that compared to Empire Records. I agree with you. The list is pretty substantial. Would this actually be considered a subgenre? Nonetheless, I was fresh out of college when this came out. I attended more of a commuter college and didn't live the college life on campus. Most of my friends and I lived a parallel life in houses and apartments, lots of partying, lots of drinking. So to me, while this wasn't a real life portrayal, I did feel like it hit close to home. I really enjoy this time in the movies. While this won't make anyone's gotta see list and others like it were serviceable, fun to watch films with your buddies. Nostalgically, I look back at this time of movies and my life really fondly. So I give this movie a rating higher than I really should and go 7.4. So when we look at all of us minus Sean, that's going to be a 7.97, which is actually pretty high. That's in the 29th spot. That is right below Lethal Weapon, right above St. Elmo's Fires, how we feel about this nostalgically.
Okay. That makes sense.
Wow.
But you know what we do? We strip it away. We move on to a modern day rating 24 years later to see if it actually does do some good stuff.
This is almost a quarter century old.
Yeah. Fucked up.
Do you think they will do a 25th anniversary release?
It's going to be an IMAX, dude.
It's
going to
be an IMAX.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, that's what I need to see, an IMAX.
Well, to do that, we got to get started. We got to learn all the important details of the movie. Sean, that's your job. What do you got, man?
Produced by Daniel Goldberg, Joe Medjuk, and Ivan Reitman, written by Todd Phillips and Scott Armstrong, cinematography by Mark Irwin. He's been on the show before. He's done a lot of work with Cronenberg, like with The Fly. He did The Blob remake, RoboCop 2. He did Dumb and Dumber and Scream. Music by Michael Simpson and directed by Todd Phillips. He's the guy that did Joker.
Yes. Mind-blowing.
Yeah. cast: Breckenmeyer, Sean William Scott, Amy Smart, Paolo Costanzo, DJ Qualls, Rachel Blanchard, Anthony Rapp, Fred Ward, Andy Dick, Ethan Supley, Horatio Sands, Ellen Albertini Dow, Edmund Lindeck, and Tom Green.
Bring it.
Filming took place on October 16th, 1999, and concluded on December 27th of that year. Rachel Blanchard was told to dye her hair red for the film, saying that it would take away from Amy Smart, who had blonde hair, blue eyes. Phillips also stated there can only be one hot blonde in the film.
That's true. That was a 2000s formula. Okay, only one hot blonde.
Only one hot blonde. Gotcha.
Zach Galifianakis auditioned for Barry.
Fuck. I would have wanted that.
It would have. This would have been a 10 for you.
Why
not? Well, it would have, because I was already knowing Zach Galifianakis at this point. Yeah. You know, like his stand-up. And what's crazy to me, though, is I'm glad it didn't happen, because this would have really elevated his career. He would have been way, because he would have been, which role was he going to play?
Barry. Tom Green.
Yeah, like I love Tom Green in this, and it needed to be Tom Green. But if Zach Galifianakis would have done it, it would have blown him up. And he wasn't quite ready for it yet. I love that it was Hangover that did it.
Yeah.
Because that came out of nowhere for me. So, but I would have loved to have seen an alternate universe.
Also Todd Phillips.
Yeah, weird.
Out Cold was my Zach Galifianakis. Yep. We talked about it when we did Out Cold. But at the same time,
it wasn't his blowout. Like,
No. Yeah. I think it gave him that platform. Yeah. And then, but I'll be honest with you guys. Give me that deep fake.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that deep fake of Zach Galifianakis as Barry.
Humping a mom on the grass.
We'll get into it, I think. But I think like Zach Galifianakis auditioning for this probably got him the role later on, to work with Todd Phillips. But I really think that it could have been anybody. I think Tom Green, to me, in this movie, seems like he was just Tom Green at the time, so they had him in a movie.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't really do any... He's just Tom Green.
Let's put him front and center on our movie poster. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I feel like he was around in the zeitgeist, so we need to cast him.
Well, Tom Green, if you know much about his history, I was a huge Tom Green fan. He was doing the Tom Green Show in Canada in like the late 90s, and then in 99, MTV picked it up.
Mm.
And the Tom Green Show was huge in 1999, if you ever saw that. So you're right. They basically just go, yeah, you be here, we'll write a part for you. Yeah. You're in the movie. Because the whole... walking around campus thing really doesn't have to be a part of the story.
No.
You could just
be like, here's the story.
Yeah. But when we get to it, I do like it. Crispin Glover was originally cast as Jacob.
Are you serious?
He seems way older for that part. Way too old for that part.
Yeah.
Anthony Rapp's part? I would have been great. Road Trip was released on May 19, 2000, and on a budget of $16 million, the film made $119.8 million at the box office and spawned a spiritual sequel in Euro Trip.
Wow.
Love that.
Well, thanks, Sean. We got to move on to AJ now. We got to learn about the critics and the fans and what their ratings and reviews are. What do you got?
What do you say?
It's not funny. It's called a transition.
What do you got?
What do you got?
Usually you say, what do you got, man?
What do you got, man?
There's the mic.
It's early.
Well, we're not talking about Tom Green. We're talking about Tom Red with the Tomato Meter.
Gross. That's your best one, bro.
Thanks, man. Joke's on you guys. Tomatoes. It is Tom Green because it is splat 57%. Oh,
man. 57, kids. Of all the movies we've done, that is tied with Top Gun, The Cutting Edge, and Mallrats. Per the critics, how they feel.
Per the critics. The audience feel a little bit better at 65%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
IMDb is going to give us 6.5.
And if you know anything about IMDb, anything below a 7 is garbage.
Right.
And 6.5 is getting us really close to the bottom. That is tied with Last Action Hero, Twister, and Basketball, per the fans.
Twister and Basketball.
And Last Action Hero.
Yep. That's great company.
I really feel like that's a great night of movies.
I know.
Like, you and your friend just go down to his basement. And
You all looked up 6.5s on IMDb, and you all said... Everybody pick one and don't say it till you get here.
Dude, that is a...
Did we just...
Yes, okay. The three of us are going to have a movie night and each of us have to bring a 6.5 or whatever it is. It has to be between 5.5 and 6.
An IMDb Kamikaze night.
That's fucking awesome.
Oh, yes. Let's go, Discord.
I think we're on to something here for top five movies.
That's
top
fun.
Five oh. movies between 5 and 6 on IMDb.
Oh yes, that's That's a great one.
There's a lot of golden gems.
That's what I'm saying.
There's a lot of golden
gems. People are
idiots.
In there.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
How about the New York Daily News? As opposed to weekly news, 75 out of 100 said that. What?
Martha Tripp today. So
not a lot happening in New York
news-worthy.
Today. But this movie came out. The jokes, fast and furious enough to satisfy both teens and intrepid parents, are far funnier than they are raunchy. I disagree. Rolling Stone said, as long as Green is on screen, which is not nearly enough, Road Trip is easy to get revved up about. They gave it a 70 out of 100. 7 out of 10. That was Peter Travers, our boy.
Peter Travers.
Why do I love that name so
much? I know,
much?
Right? Chicago Tribune just said, degenerates in a slow-moving game of connect the gross-outs.
That's fun.
Yeah, thanks. guys, on our Discord, the Little Lebowski Urban Achievers, we had a couple people give us some input there. Jarrett Layoff did give us some great feedback here. How the heck is Road Trip rated better than Chill Factor? Come on, guys. That's not cool.
Yeah, you're a big fan of Chill Factor.
Skeet?
You got to be offended by that.
Cuba?
One.
Come on.
Non-scream skeet?
Non-scream
Your favorite skeet.
It's hard to say.
He's much closer to Jericho skeet than he is scream skeet. You know in that one. So I don't know how.
Chill Factor skeet.
Skeet Chill Factor roller is coming
pure,
down.
Pure distilled skeet. Love it.
I hate it. People, stop saying skeet.
People just call him that.
That's his name, dude.
I stop saying
it's
it.
One of those names that like you have to say his whole name. Like,
oh,
you don't walk around saying Skeet in Cuba.
No.
You go
there are certain people that you have to call them their whole
name. Oh, dude, Cuba Gooding Jr. is gonna be here. Why'd you say his whole name?
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Katie Holmes.
Yeah. Like, Tom's gonna be here.
Yeah. You can't say Tom. No. Tom and Katie are coming.
Yeah.
What?
Great.
Who?
That's every couple on Earth is Tom and Katie.
You didn't say Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes were coming. Yeah.
Yes. You were pretty casual about that in the beginning of this conversation. guys, Luke Dawson did say, you've seen one of these, you've seen them all. It's an American Pie knockoff with C-casting. He never saw it, but nostalgia is basically why dick jokes are only funny in your 40s, if you've ever heard them before. So
oh, wow. Okay.
That's why dick jokes are funny.
Skeet skeet.
This is a viewer rating. Hagicide on December 25th of 2002 on Christmas. He had nothing better to do than rate Road Trip 2 years later.
Maybe not even watched it.
He just felt the need.
Maybe he watched it like a week ago.
Either
and then on Christmas, he's like, you know what?
This is one of two people. Either it's somebody who's like, before I head out to family Christmas, I better rate this movie. Or it's like, my family doesn't even like, I don't like hanging out with my family, so I'm going to stay in my room and write a review for a road trip. Not as funny as a root canal, but cheaper. That's what it's called.
They're going to love that.
All that buildup, too, is just that. I feel bad for him almost.
Warning, spoilers. Wow. Period. You start out with just wow. I just watched this movie for the first time after many friends I formally respected recommended
Get
it.
Get out of here.
I don't respect you anymore because you recommended Road Trip.
That's why he's alone on Christmas.
Dude, we're going to lose a lot of respected fans because we're watching Road Trip. To be honest, it wasn't all bad. Just the parts that Tom Green had anything at all to do with. Mr. Green is as funny as Will Ferrell doing his taxes while watching Ishtar in a burning orphanage on the Titanic. That is a mouthful. What?
Lisey's creative, and I would watch that.
So yeah, we've got the burning orphanage on the Titanic. Well, at least it sank to put it out, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jeez. He is to comedy what Stephen Hawking is to comedy. His brand of humor is for those people. Yeah, I know. It's for those people who use his phrase like book learning and found Animal House and Police Academy too far too cerebral and uppity. He's really trying on this.
Yeah.
His success can only be explained by way of speculation that he has made some sort of deal with Satan. Undoubtedly, that Tom Green will be given fame and riches on the condition that he never set foot in hell, as I'm sure even Satan's standards for humor are higher than this. Sorry, was I ranting just then? I feel so cleansed. On the rest of the movie, it's about fucking time. Jesus. On the rest of the movie, predictable, yes, but not without a few laughs. Many of these are provided at the expense of taste, but anyone who watches this movie should be expecting that based on the familiar teen movie cast. Check your standards at the door. Don't get me wrong. I don't consider this movie to be a waste of time. It gave me a chance to work on my Tom Green efficacy.
I just want to thank you for bringing that to the world, man. I want to thank you for getting that into the world.
No one's ever written that much about Road Trip.
No.
Or Tom Green.
No.
I just wanted to bring it out. It's the only one that I wanted to do. And I feel like it started strong, and then he could have just left all that Tom Green at the door with his standards.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Because now all of us are now dumber for having listened. So you're welcome, guys.
Thanks, man.
I think that's a perfect start to Road Trip.
My friends, I was in college when this movie came out. I spent a lot of money on eating unhealthy foods. If only our sponsor HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, would have been around back then, it would have saved me some money, made me eat healthier food, and maybe I would have actually been able to impress that girl from my philosophy class.
Nice.
I've been receiving a HelloFresh box every single week for the month of January, and it's been pivotal in helping me save money by delivering boxes packed with pre-portioned farm-fresh ingredients right to my doorstep so I don't have to spend ungodly amounts of money on delivery, takeout, or eating in restaurants every day. On top of that, they save me time by allowing me to stop making all those trips to the grocery store that I don't have any time for, and it means less hassle and less wasted food. I've never felt more confident about asking you great listeners to join me on something. These tasty meals that you pick out ahead of time are easy to make and are ready to be eaten in 6 simple steps. Each week, there are 45 dinner options to choose from and even more market add-on items that suit any lifestyle. If I can do it, anyone can. You'll feel like a hero by saving your household money on top of becoming a master chef who makes delicious meals for your loved ones. At first, I was skeptical about meal kits. There's no way I could possibly make these meals, have them taste good. Fast forward to 2 nights ago, I made taqueria chicken bowls with spicy corn esquites, sour cream, hot sauce, and cilantro.
Skeet Ulrich?
With a side of Ulrich, huh?
Side of a...
spicy corn esquites. They say breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and HelloFresh agrees. In fact, new thing for all of our listeners today, they're giving our subscribers free breakfast for life. That means you'll enjoy a totally free breakfast item with every single HelloFresh delivery. That is worth waking up early for. Go to HelloFresh.com/confusedbreakfastfree. Use code confusedbreakfastfree for free breakfast for life. One breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/confusedbreakfastfree with code confusedbreakfastfree. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Yes.
I'm hungry.
Well, listeners, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. This is it, right here. This is what we're talking about. I'm going to give you a good episode today, tell you as much as you need to know, plus a whole lot, actually. So this is the main part of the podcast. You'll be getting used to this section of the show. This is sort of where you congregate with your friends, and you love to listen to a review on a movie, and you... come in around me, everyone. Come in around me. Yeah, don't straggle.
We're here.
I've had problems with stragglers before. They get lost in our vast library of episodes. They get hit by trucks. Okay? It's not pretty. Unleash the fury, Mitch. Here we go.
It's a beautiful day. Goddamn right. It's a beautiful day.
So scene one, a college student, Barry, gives a tour of Ithaca College to prospective students and their families and begins to tell a story about his friend Josh Parker and his girlfriend Tiffany Henderson, who are trying a long-distance relationship. Josh has become insecure when Tiffany won't answer his phone call, so he records a videotape for her and asked his friend Ruben to mail it in the morning. Josh's ancient philosophy professor tells him he needs a B+ on his midterm to pass the class. Josh's best friend EL convinces Josh to go after Beth, who's in love with him, much to the chagrin of his ancient philosophy TA Jacob. After EL's party that night, Josh and Beth escape to his room and record themselves having sex on his camcorder.
Fuck yeah, dude. This movie's produced by DreamWorks.
Wow.
Does that surprise you?
Yeah.
Really, though?
Yes.
What is DreamWorks? Basically, DreamWorks, just putting out the most popular movies it can?
Mostly
kind of thing?
Known for, like, Spielberg stuff and, like, Wonderment movies like that. Big, like, almost PG movies.
This one flew under the radar with them.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they just gave this movie money and were like, we could see some return on this, perhaps. Fuck it, let's try. And they did. It worked.
I'm pretty sure that the 25th anniversary box set is going to be produced by OnlyFans. Yeah. Because this is the start of it
pretty much, right?
Yeah, that's basically it. So I just like all the people that Barry is interacting with.
Like the tour that he's giving.
I love the tour that he's giving.
So you don't feel, because I on rewatch I was kind of like, you know, this really doesn't, none of this has to be part of the movie, but you're saying I very much enjoy this.
I mean, if I was a part of this tour, I'd be in the same feelings and boat, I guess. As
for
these people.
You would hate him at first, and then you'd eventually sign up to go to school there.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
Yeah, guaranteed. I mean, if Josh can do it, maybe I can do it.
Do you think? Let's just throw this out there. I've never been a person that gives tours of a university, but let's pretend it's commission based. Oh. Let's pretend that he gets paid based on how many people actually like leave him a good review and actually sign up to go to school there and apply. Yeah. Maybe Tom Green made up this whole story.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just his sick, weird, made up story that he concocted so that he can always just, he's got a high conversion rate on people and like getting them involved and wanting to sign up for school.
So these people actually don't exist except in his brain.
Yeah. He doesn't have any friends. He's like 40 years old.
Yeah. He's uncool Van Wilder.
Yes.
Is basically who Barry is, right?
Uncool Van Wilder.
Yeah.
Unattractive, uncool Van Wilder.
Yeah. Very creepy. Yeah.
Van Wilder's not giving tours. He's throwing parties. Right?
Yeah. And Van Wilder's very elegant and he can get people on board with his talking.
Right.
Tom Green's just like, what?
He's like, I still go here, apparently. that's it.
Just not leaving school. Yeah. Just have a job here now.
He's been there for 8 years, is what
so
he says.
I do like this. I describe it as like, this is a great story I have to tell you kind of movie.
Yeah.
You know, and then.
Does that draw you in when that aspect happens?
I liked where he's like, oh, well, let me tell you about this story that I was a little bit of a part of. And then the movie proceeds to tell you the story, you know, and then interjects with him throughout the movie. Yeah. I like that a lot. And you can have fun with that, too. And I think the movie kind of plays with it a little bit. Where they're like, oh, well, you can't insert tits on everybody in the scenes of your story, you know? Like, I like that.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool kind of device and to frame this whole movie around. And, yeah.
It's fun. I think it gets you into it. If it didn't, it would just start with, I mean, where he begins the story and no one's really narrating it to you, right?
True.
So,
well, and then there's the question of you have Tom Green's character as a narrator. Is this actually happened?
Has this actually happened? This is what makes me think that this script did not have this kind of device when it was first written.
Yeah.
And then Tom Green was a thing and they're like, okay, well, we have Tom Green. Let's throw him in here somehow. And they wrote this kind of thing.
Is Tom Green, he was basically like the going into 2000s version of like a Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically like the next version of Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore got some of his fame from MTV and then he kind of grew off of that and they were like, let's get him in movies and like use that him as a device on these movies. And Tom Green happened.
And to get people in the butts in the seats kind of a thing.
Yeah. It's like he only had like one or two movies that he was actually ever a focal point or like a main character on, but they still like this. They put him on the front of the cover of the movie.
I'm glad
and the poster.
He's the main character.
Yeah, like he's the main character. Yeah.
He's the selling point, really, at this point. I'm glad you said that. I was trying to think of like today's equivalent of that.
Yeah.
Like the guy, the internet star who becomes an actor or some shit.
Yeah.
I can't think of one. Pauly Shore is perfect.
Well, and he has a very similar arc, right? People loved Pauly Shore so much, and then they started hating him. Yeah. There's too much Pauly Shore. Same thing happened with Tom Green. I know a lot of people out there that never really liked Tom Green, but the majority of people were like, God, he's so funny. Mm-hmm. When he did his like, you know, my bum is on the chair, and you're like, this is fucking funny.
Oh,
man.
This is so funny.
Oh, man. And then you get spoon-fed too much of it, and then people hate you.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people dislike Tom Green, and it's because of how much he got pushed. But again, I feel the same way about Tom Green as I do Pauly Shore, that both of them were fucking geniuses. And unfortunately, we don't view them that way sometimes, because it's like they had their thing and they got pushed so hard.
Yeah.
But Tom Green's fucking hilarious.
There's no one else like Pauly Shore or Tom Green.
No.
And like it's when they're in movies, they're doing their thing and they get hired to do their thing, their which people really like at the time, you know. And I think it's great. Why not?
Yeah,
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Yeah, like you talk about movies like Freddy Got Fingered and stuff like that. I mean, Pauly Shore's was probably like son-in-law.
Yeah,
very much.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think it's pretty fun. I do think that honestly, you could have just had Tom Green narrating this without the tours.
Where he was just a buddy.
But he was just a buddy.
And but that's the catalyst.
He was the outside
him,
person, and he's narrating what he sees.
Yeah.
And it would have made sense, but then at the same time, it's like, well, why is he narrating this? So it's fun, and I like it. And I also think it makes for a great joke later on that we'll get to. But long-distance relationships. Have you guys ever done a long-distance relationship?
Nope. Furthest I ever did was, like, Cedar Rapids to Iowa City, and it's impossible.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. Maybe there's a thing about it. Like if you are literally days away from each other, not like an hour, maybe it does make it more sacred, but it's like, it's just an hour away. Like, I don't know. It's just even worth it. like, I don't know.
Or like 4 hours away. Is it even realistic?
Yeah.
Yeah. During a pandemic.
Yeah.
Is that even like realistic?
Right. Right.
In these movies, like, it's so wild for me to think that I will show this to like Willa someday. Let's say she's in high school and we want to watch this, and for her to not be able to understand the world that this took place in. This is one of those many movies where a cell phone would change this whole movie. Like everyone having cell phones, this movie doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because of the idea that people don't understand. We didn't have cell phones. You had to call landlines and leave messages on phones. And that's why that's the whole catalyst for this movie, is that he can't get a hold of his girlfriend.
Right. And imagine this, like, even having your cell phone, you would just record a video on your cell phone and send it through SMS, where he has to make a tape
and mail it.
And this is not like, this happened.
Yeah.
I mean, going down and like writing, like going down to a computer lab, you didn't even have a computer in your room.
My gosh.
And typing in a long email to your girlfriend or this girl you like, and then like having to wait like maybe a day to get a response on it.
Yeah.
Because she didn't have a chance to get to her computer lab at her college.
Right.
Like what?
Snail mailing a VHS, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And think about this. I know that, okay, we still have video cameras, obviously, right? Like, but at the same time, it's like, wait, what's he doing? And like, kind of like, record. Okay.
Because you can't edit. There's no editing software.
You gotta be really ready. Yeah, you can't just be like, oh shoot, my phone.
Oh no,
I'll just delete that one and then do another one. Okay, I'll just do that again. It's like, no, you're sitting there getting ready to like record a tape and like all these little things. The idea of just having a videotape recorder is foreign. It would be digital now. Yeah.
Another take would have to be, like, if you wanted to be like, I'll just delete that one. That would be the version of rewind it, and then you tape over what you just filmed.
Tape over it, yeah. and like, that's what you have to do to go through it.
Oof. Yeah.
It's just nuts. I mean, if this movie happened today, it would be this. He'd be like, texting his girlfriend, man, hey, get back to me. I haven't heard from you in a couple hours. And then she's like, oh, sorry, my grandpa died. I'll call you later tonight. Yeah.
Yep.
And then he'd be like, okay, cool. I'm still dating this girl, and I'm not going to bang super hot Amy Smart.
Yep. Yeah. And
because I'm in a relationship.
No movie continues. There's no movie.
That's the end of the movie.
There's no movie. Yep.
How do you make this movie modern day? Like, what would be the reason where he would have to go to his girlfriend, you know, 10 states away? What would be the reason? Like, what's the catalyst there? You can't really do this.
I mean, it would be the continuation of like no texts and no callbacks and stuff. The only thing that would have happened on her side is my phone broke and I couldn't get to.
So let me pull out my iPad real quick. And I'll email you. I can text technically on my iPad too because it's connected to my iPhone.
There was a fire in her dorm.
Okay.
And that destroyed all of communication.
Right.
But then the news happens. It's like, yeah, and in other news, down at Austin University, a big fire broke out, and it's really causing a lot of a headache for students and their parents.
We're the news, so here's a bunch of scary stuff that you need to be worried about. Yeah. It'd be top story.
It'd be top story, and then he'd be like in Ithaca, like, oh wow, that's crazy. Oh, that's probably why that I'm not hearing from her. Yeah, I hope she's okay. But yes.
And the movie
they said nobody was hurt in the process. Okay, cool. Great.
The movie would take place entirely just on their phones. Like they would screen cap. No cap, dude. Fucking for real. It would just be, you know, like, hey, bae. Sup? What? Why you? What? WYD, bae?
Dick pic?
Dick pic.
Oh, shit. For real. FR in real life, my dorm caught fire.
Oh, shit. That's fire.
That's no cap, bro.
LOL out loud.
The fire, end. Dog. Are they going to cancel some classes? That's cool. Like,
that's pretty cap, if you ask me, dude.
The whole thing would be on their phone. Because you see those television shows now where it is like, it's like they're doing the text thing and it's like, and then it shows up on the screen.
Yeah.
And then it shows the bubble. And like most of the anxiety.
You sound like the Signs aliens.
Most of the anxiety would come from this fire happened in the middle of her typing something, and the bubble just stays consistent.
And eventually it disappears.
Zoom in on the eyes looking at the phone.
But okay, I don't want to be that guy because like this is not how I feel, but you can understand why there's a nostalgia for the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. It's because... Yeah. Of moments like this where like the spontaneity of being like, fuck,
we're going on a trip.
We got to go on a trip. We don't even know how to get there. Like we got to read this map and like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like there is some beautiful nostalgia to the, what you had to go through back then,
dude,
to go on a road trip.
Yeah. If it would have been,
or to save a relationship.
If it could have been 2 years later, like, or just say like 1 year later and they did have to go to a computer lab, they could have, the best they could have done is map quested the directions.
Yeah. Which is still a map. It's not telling you where to go.
Oh, right, yeah. We map quested to get to a concert in Milwaukee once, and the last direction was turn right on 7th Street. We turned right on 7th Street. It was a dead end at the river in a very questionable neighborhood.
Yep.
And then we're like, well, now what do we do?
And then somebody knocks on the door, says, what can I do for you?
Yes.
And that was a very scary time in your life.
No one knows what that feels like. And, rerouting.
Rerouting. We'll call the cops.
In reality, the only person in this movie in college who could have possibly had a cell phone would have been Kyle. Because he had a credit card and his parents gave him a car for it, too. So he's the only one probably who could have, would have had a cell phone potentially.
He might have had one. Just
you never
didn't bring it along.
Hit me with a prop.
Prop, huh?
Ooh,
here's a prop.
I know what you want.
God is awesome shirt.
Oh, that's pretty sweet, dude. Man.
Just God is awesome.
God is awesome.
And I'm not ironically at all. I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Yeah.
Mike?
So actually, you go first, then because I want to start us on a different path here.
I was almost positive Sean was going to take this, so I'm going to take it now. But it's Andy Dick's character's bolo tie. It's an arrowhead with a scorpion in it.
It's pretty tight.
It's like, oh, he's going to take that. I was like, I'm going to take it now.
Actually, no, I'm going to save what I wanted to go into until the next scene. But I want the piece of French toast that was in Horatio Sands' butthole.
Are you going to put it in a shadow box then?
Fuck yes, dude. It looks tasty.
It does.
We'll get to that later.
No. Anthony Rapp as the kind of bully, I guess, or like the antagonist-ish the movie is weird to see.
Isn't it sad that Jacob, this is his second movie that he's been in that we've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just plays the worst character in every movie. Like, it's a bit of a typecast, but like, I hate him in Dazed and Confused.
I mean,
and I hate him in this, and that's a testament to his acting, right?
Yeah.
Or is it just, he's just got one of those faces?
He's the intellectual. Okay.
No, I'm not pushing it.
No, yeah. He's the intellectual, like, you know, well, Abe Lincoln's beard guy.
And, how come and girls don't like me?
Dazed and Confused. Yeah. And in this, he's, you know, I love his line where he's, I saw you hitting on Beth. Not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
It's like, that's a hell of a way to say to get like another male to back off your potential suitor, you know?
Yeah. Oh, not a good idea. It's
not
like,
a good idea.
I can't take you seriously or tough. In that shirt with that jacket. I can't.
And
I'm
that
sorry.
Face.
And that face, those glasses, that hair. It makes sense. You ended up in a cult. I honestly, I do think it would be a lot like really fun that Tony from Dazed and Confused would have become Jacob.
God damn, it's that would have been sweet.
It's just like 10 years too long, you know?
Yeah.
But if it was like Dazed and Confused was the 80s, he totally could have been. If it was 89, he would be Jacob.
The same, like the fan theory of that together. Yeah.
Sabrina really fucked him up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was never going to work out. No. We all know that.
No way.
Are we too auctioning off women yet?
I mean, yeah, we're at the party.
Let's do this. Auctioning off girls. And you had mentioned, like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to show Willow this movie. I suggest probably not. Like,
I mean, I said when she's older.
Maybe now is better, to be honest, so she forgets
it's
about
it. It's more
to
be like, hey, babe, look how weird we were back then.
Yeah. Oh.
Look,
no cap.
You were
no cap, dog. Look,
no cap.
Look how mad we disrespected women back then.
Yeah.
Like, this is pretty crazy. I mean, it is funny, but it is just like, oh.
But I can tell you, I've never, ever... There's two things that I've never experienced. I was in college for 5 years, and
a lot of people go
and I went to a
college
lot
for 5 years.
I went to a lot of parties. Never once, and we see this trope in movies so often. This sort of organized thing of whether it's an auction or Teen Wolf, where they're doing like this pick from a hat. And you're I never once saw anyone be able to organize some fun games at a party. And two, never once have I ever seen a live band playing in a house party.
Especially a ska band.
True.
You don't have room for that.
Never. No PAs, obviously. There's never PAs.
No one's
PAs.
Having a conversation while that's happening.
No.
There's no way.
You mean to tell me that you've got a trombone player in that house party?
I'm sorry.
Somebody's getting hit.
Yes.
He's not going to beer out of somebody's hand. Ah.
You know? Hey, what's up, man?
What the fuck?
It's like, yeah. Oh. Dang it.
Man, he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
It's like, it's not happening. And but there's, if I have to, I had to ask also, were dorms like this though too? Not to stray away from the party, but I want to come back to it. But were dorms really like this too? Like,
yeah, I think so. Like, you know, the dorm I stayed in was only a two-person dorm, but there was another dorm on campus that was very much a multiple people all in one big room kind of a thing. And from my experience, the act of everyone just always being in your room was completely, that is very true of what college life is.
You just
especially
had it
as a freshman.
Open and
just your doors always open.
And
people are always in and out of it.
I went to like visit some friends like in, you know, it was like our first year in college or second year. And everybody went to different colleges or whatnot, kind of in the, you know, within like a 2 hour radius, right? So you'd go and visit them. And like, I never saw dorms like that, that like people had like, oh yeah, tons of room to spread out and beanbag chairs and like, oh, a TV in the corner with a mini fridge.
Wow.
And like, it's like, I mean, that's really not that bad if you actually get along with your roommate. You know,
it seems like they do, and we don't really know who lives in the room.
It
right?
looks like Ruben and
Josh and Ruben, maybe.
Yeah,
like, okay,
are in the same room together because like Ruben's very much like kind of studying, and
he's got his snake.
Yeah, and his snake. So, but going
Mitch.
Back, man, Mitch. What a great
snake.
Name for a snake.
I want to have a collar that says Mitch.
Going back to like EL's party at his house, it's like I went to some. Like a frat party, like at a couple of these, like in different colleges. And you're right. How do you put this stuff together? And how do you get women agree to be raffled off?
Yeah.
It's just part of the,
auctioned
it's
off.
Just part of the thought process. I think it's what we think colleges are like. I think a lot of this audience might've been technically for high schoolers, right? Like
sure.
maybe
oh, yeah.
you think this is what college is going to be like. I think anywhere from about 15, 16 years old to like 22 years old was probably the audience of this.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah. And then, yeah, right next to that, and including, it just said Mike Schulte.
Mike Schulte's going to love this.
Yeah. He's going to love this shit.
You know who I did love? I still am to this day, and I still feel like he falls in the category a little bit of Pauly Shore and Tom Green, but Sean William Scott, I still love him so much. And I love this American Pie, Dude, Where's My Car, American Pie 2, Road Trip. He's the guy.
Final Destination.
Yes.
Come on.
I mean, he had, that was all in a 2-year span, all of those movies where he was on a rocket ship. And he's the same guy, his confident nature, his strut, his kind of like,
his little smirk with his eyes.
Shit-eating smirk, yeah. Like, it is, it's Stifler.
It's Stifler.
But it's like different versions of Stifler.
Yeah.
And because honestly, it is Stifler who was in high school, just went to college.
It's exactly
That's exactly what would have happened. He would have still been cool and probably, like, you know, at this point in his college career. It's a lot of fun. And I actually, for some reason, I think it's because he's not such a, as much of like an actual jerk. He actually has some like nice redeeming qualities in this movie.
Yeah, for the
most part. That I really do like his character in this movie. And he is very free spirited and like, he literally says, the years of our youth are slipping away. You know?
Before you know, we're going to turn 40. I'm like, you all look like you're 40.
Yeah. and then we're going to be like role models. But I do really like him in this. I think he's a great driving force for like all the characters. He's a very big push for a lot of these characters, including Kyle, who we'll meet soon.
Yeah.
But he's a great push for them, and especially just like, you know, live your life. I got to say, though, Josh is, he hasn't heard from Tiffany in 4 days. What is it? 3 days?
3-4 days.
And he's just like, yeah, you're right. She's fuck it. Like,
this is college,
3 years,
man,
or something.
This is college. Like, your one friend can literally push you over the edge on anything. Like, dude, just for reference, my best bud Dilavu, who's listening to this, like, we lived in a house with him, and he had to wake up.
Dilavu?
Dilavu. His last name's Dilavu.
Okay.
We were doing what we call we were waging war on pain.
Okay.
Which means just sit on a couch all day long and ingest whatever you need to ingest and drink whatever you need to drink and just have fun. Great. And just kill the pain of the world off, you know? And he came down the steps with a bag. He's like, I got to go home for Easter weekend to see my family, or Thanksgiving. And we're like, skip it. He's like, guys, I got to go. It's family. We're like, skip it. He goes, all right.
No.
Like, you just, all you need is one little nudge from a friend.
But that was
in this era.
Like, he should have snuck out the window. You know, he knew if he passed you guys that he wasn't going to fucking go to his family.
He should have known.
Josh should not be going to this party. He knows that, what's Amy Smart's character? Sorry.
Claire.
Beth. He knows Beth is going to be there. He knows they're going to be drinking.
Yeah.
But he knows that if he goes there, what he wants is going to happen.
Yeah.
And so it's just that young mind mentality. I mean, you don't. What did I hear the other day? Your brain does not fully mature till like 25. Like, that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth in college. Oh, you do some dumb shit.
If you can't make
some dumb decisions.
It's like freshman year. It's only going to take like one time of you being like, nah, dude, skip it. And they'd be like, yeah, I will. And then like sophomore, it's going to be like 2 times. Like, no, dude, skip it.
Skip it.
All right, fine. And then, like, as you get older, it's going to be like 3 times. If you can, junior year, you're going to be like, no, a third time, you're going to be like, dude, we're hanging out here. You need to skip going to Easter. And then you'll be like, all right, fine, I will. But I might still try to make it down.
Yeah,
senior year is when you finally make it past the rule of three. And you can, if you can make it past the rule of three, you're like, no, no, no. I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. You can make
I'll
it
see
anywhere.
You tomorrow.
And
because you also have you also have the Iowa goodbye to contend with.
Exactly.
Because you're never getting out of that room.
It's the Iowish.
Yeah. Yep. I'd like to what he does, like buy her or like successfully, like, you know, purchases her.
Yeah.
And
which is what you do.
Yeah.
As you do in college. They buy women.
They get together and they're dancing and they like high five. You're like, yeah. I'm worth $26 and 30 to others.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Like, what did he says? Like, he's talking about that the very first girl that comes up, and he's like, can I hear $5? It's like $3.50. He's like, Jesus, man. She's not a piece of meat or something. Like, I don't know what he says, but it's very funny. It's like, God, come on.
It's funny, too.
I mean,
when he's like, 30. I said 30. He's like,
I know.
Nothing else? You really? Clearly heard. I said 30. He goes, yeah.
Right here. 30. He's like, nobody else. $30. Like, only $26 sold. It's my man, Josh.
Only Sean William Scott can pull that kind of vibe off. I don't know why.
Yeah. I know. Like, I'm glad that that's the way it goes down. And I love their interaction, him and Jacob's pretty much only interaction in the movie. It's like, you heard me say 30. It's like, I didn't hear anything. It's like, either way, it wouldn't have been
you're
a TA. Students only. It's like,
it's like, yeah, you gotta have your friend group has to include an EL in it. It's that that tough guy, sort of cocky guy. Yeah. You have to have one of them.
I agree with you.
Well, and before we move on, let's talk about Amy Smart. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I was in love with Amy Smart for all the, this was her era and all the stuff she did in the probably about 5-6 years there, like Butterfly Effect.
Yes.
Yeah. Just Friends. This, yes. I mean, and she did have some reservations. I don't know if you read that about showing her breasts in the film.
Okay.
And Todd Phillips, which makes me, cause Todd Phillips always plays the creepy guy in movies.
Yeah. Well, so his own movies.
Yeah. So I always feel like he is creepy. So the fact that he like tried to convince her to do it feels creepy to me, but he actually brought up Phoebe Cates in Fast Times at Ridgemont High said that was, he said, remember Phoebe Cates? That's my favorite nude scene of all time. And she goes, oh, okay.
The way, that doesn't seem very convincing.
No, it's like, it's my favorite nude scene. How does Phoebe Cates
feel discussed
about it?
That as in there be like, what we say with that whole situation with Ridgemont High was she didn't want to do it either. Phoebe Cates. And it's like, or she wanted to do
there
it.
There was a lady looking down.
And the crew. She's like, if this goes well, there's going to be like 80 million people seeing your tits. So that might have been like what he said, but it didn't seem like that with what I read, too.
Came out creepily.
It's like, hey, one of my favorite scenes in movie history is the Phoebe Cates scene of Ridgemont High.
If we see your boobs, like, maybe yours will be my
just
favorite.
Just so you know, I want this to be my favorite movie.
I want this to be my new favorite scene in one of my movie. So,
but I buy Breckin Meyer and Amy Smart in this for some reason.
They're pretty good.
I feel like their chemistry is pretty awesome. And this scene is like very sexy.
Into Amy Smart.
She's incredibly sexy in this movie. Yeah. Like she is incredibly just like gorgeous and like,
how does she not have a boyfriend already? Why is she going after Josh?
Yeah. Like very much like that college crush, mm-hmm. you know, but a kind of college, you know, dream kind of scenario girl or whatever. And you're like, that is attainable, but not attainable. Yes. I don't know.
Girl
you know
next door. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly the vibe that she
we
gives
have
off.
To give her credit with the Crank movies too. She's awesome.
Oh yeah.
She's that's great. Right. It's crazy too. She's like, I want to try something new. You know, it's like, damn. You're at college. You were just bought and paid for.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have sex with someone for the first time on camera for the first time.
Yeah. Where his friends are definitely going to watch this.
Like college is all about bad decisions, but you're supposed to sparse them out.
Yeah.
Like you're making like five of them right now.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I looked it up. 20, just to put everyone's some peace of mind here, $26 back then. It's actually like $45.
Okay.
So
for
it's
a
not
college
bad.
Kid, that's
not
bad. That's a big.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Dude, we're talking about the era where like it's like $1.50 Red Bull vodkas, you know?
I mean like, he could have gotten like two cases of beer for that, but instead he really went all out and got Amy Smart.
He got a human being.
A 30 pack of Keystone Light would have been like $14.
You got
Amy Smart is worth 2 30 packs of Keystone Light.
That's about right.
And
I hate to say it, but
and
she
a large
is kind
pizza.
Of she is kind of the Keystone Light of women.
No,
no, she is
you,
not.
You should definitely hate to say that because she is not.
I'm just kidding.
She is the Miller High Life.
She is the champagne.
She is the champagne
of college beers.
Of college.
Jesus.
Okay. College and beer Butterfly women. Effect when she's all down and out, she's the Keystone Light.
And I still love her.
But you know,
I still love her at that part.
She's, I'd still call her a natural woman, Natty Ice.
Natty Light. Yeah.
Well, speaking of alcohol, kids, we got to talk about our sponsor, Cedar Ridge Whiskey. I don't know if I told you this, but my wife, beautiful Molly, bought me an advent calendar of whiskey in December.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's this big box shows up and there's like 2 ounces of a different whiskey for 25 days.
Hell yeah.
You drink one, you read about it, you like make little notes on a thing. You maybe I want to buy this again. I'm not going to lie to you. There was some delicious whiskey that came through here from all around the world, but I didn't buy a bottle of any of them because in our backyard is Cedar Ridge Whiskey in Swisher, Iowa. They make the best whiskey I've ever had in my life, and I will continue to call them the best. They're winning awards all over the place. And if you have a whiskey lover in your life or you like whiskey, take it from us. Try some Cedar Ridge. You can get their flagship bourbon, which is just perfect for making craft cocktails, maybe even mixing it with some stuff. We mixed it the other day with some lemonade and some Sprite. It was like, fuck, it was delicious. A little grenadine in there. Or you can grab their American Quintessential Single Malt, which is the best tasting single malt you've ever had. Put that on the rocks. Put that neat. However you want to do it. I mean, that's a more of a higher taste level, like maybe your normal whiskey guy is not going to like that, but your seasoned vet's going to love it. Or maybe you want to get crazy. Maybe you want that Slipknot collaboration, number 9 that they combined rye and bourbon together. We think you should try it. We love it. They've sponsored this podcast for a very long time, and we would really appreciate it if you go check them out at CedarRidgeDistillery.com. Order some right to your door or check out your local distributor.
CedarRidgeDistillery.com.
CedarRidgeDistillery.com.
So scene 2, the next morning, Josh tells his friends that he slept with Beth, and when he goes to show the tape to his friends, they realize that Reuben accidentally mailed it to Tiffany, just as Josh finds out that her grandfather had passed away. Josh, EL, and Reuben decide to drive to Austin to intercept the videotape, and they ask Kyle to come along because he's the only one with a car. Barry stays behind to take care of Reuben's snake, Mitch. After leaving the interstate to take a shortcut, they find a small bridge collapsed. Instead of backtracking, they decide to jump it. They make it across, but the car is wrecked. Can I at least mention this to you, that if we had a guitar in here, I would be able to sing and play you the entire Tiny Salmon song.
Okay.
Because this is right when I was learning how to play guitar in college. And this was part of my repertoire of songs that I would perform.
Gorgeous.
And people loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
And I just love how EL
knows the song.
He's laying on his back going, But the salmon can only say. And it's sad. Like that, this is why you have Tom Green in this movie, because you know he probably made that up on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you would have had that moment without him in this movie.
Yeah.
You don't get it. Zach Galifianakis wouldn't have made that song. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So, yeah, I think you're 100% right. I like that this is like the moment after the night, the party, you know,
the
morning after, that kind of thing. And Josh is just glowing.
Oh yeah,
as you should be.
Oh yeah,
just absolutely glowing. Twice last night and once this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like,
got some breakfast.
So
doing good.
Doing just fine. Are we to Kyle yet, or do we want to talk about like the whole videotape?
I think you got to talk about the videotape here, because it's a very funny moment. I love how EL is cheering. And first of all, there's the moment of like, no, you don't watch this with your friends. You don't even tell them about this.
Yeah. Like I say, if
it's
you
a very
can make
bit
it.
Of a violation on Beth's part as well, but also like, I don't want you watching this.
It's pretty cavalier of Beth to just walk away from that. I'll be honest with you.
Yes.
I'm just saying, it's a lot of trust. I'm not saying like there's like she's like naive or anything, but at the same time,
she knows what's going to happen.
I filmed this and I'm going to leave it in your dorm. Like,
where all your friends are going to hang out.
Yeah.
A dorm where, you know, they shoot things called Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah.
That's where they do a lot of that.
Where quite literally three is company in a dorm. Mm-hmm. That's pretty jam-packed.
That's what I was saying. Like, it was all these bad decisions all in one night, you know. And it's, you trust this guy that you not just met, but you just fucked. And did your first video with, and then you leave it with him.
It's not her first.
You don't think?
You know what? You think this is her first?
Well, she does say, I've always wanted to try this.
Try something new. Oh, well, I mean, how many guys have a videotape,
a
video camera in their dorm? You know,
he's rich.
I mean, he's doing pretty good.
would you show your friends?
No,
yeah, no.
You don't even hint at it. You don't even tell them that. And like EL,
he goads it out of him pretty well.
Yes. EL's cheering. Like when they find out it's actually his video that he sent, EL's like, yes,
yeah.
You said that. Cause he understands.
Is this what you've been sending to Tiffany? Oh,
I think EL understands that like that relationship needs to end.
Yeah.
And I think he's like, fuck yeah, that's the moment.
And Tom Green's like, holding him back, and it's
did you
Tiffany.
Make a copy? Because if you made a copy,
then we could watch it.
He's like, he's so upset, and he's like, his interpretation of being so upset is like, hey, I mean, don't worry. If you made a copy,
well, then we can watch
just watch the copy. It's like, no, you idiot.
I didn't have time to make a copy.
And they're mad that that Tiffany gets to watch it and they don't get to watch it.
Oh, man.
But it's like, and I also like to say, like, what if they hadn't watched it? Like, what if they hadn't tried to watch it? Then that movie just gets sent directly to her.
You're right.
And true. They don't, when does he realize that it got sent?
And
it's at least a couple more days before he figures out that they sent the wrong copy. Right?
Yeah, and then she probably has it by then.
And then she comes back from her grandfather's funeral, opens that up.
Yeah.
And that's like, oh, thank goodness. Like the nightmare that actually happens later, or that they show later on, actually happens.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's rough.
But it's really Tiffany's fault if you think about this. She's like, I didn't want to leave a voicemail on your machine. That's what? Most certainly what you do. You say, by the way, if you can't get a hold of me, here's what's happening. I really need you to try to call me, maybe at my mom's house, because I'm leaving.
And here's her number.
Here's a fucking voicemail to tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Tiffany's fault.
Hey, I saw you called, or that there was a message. I just wanted to leave this voicemail really quick. I'm okay. My grandfather passed away.
We usually go about an hour.
You know.
We talk to each other about every hour on the hour, and you're not going to be able to get a hold of me.
I know you've been trying to get a hold of me and everything, so that's kind of what's been going on. So, like, you know, these past 4 days, I hope you haven't, like, made a sex tape with anybody or anything like that. Just let me know if you have.
I love you.
I
love Josh's face where he goes, I love you. Do you like Breckin Meyer?
I love it. I love him, not his name, but
Josh. Breckin.
Breckin.
Yeah.
Breckin.
It's a very unfortunate Meyer.
Breckin
Rich.
That's all I can think of.
Why are you named Breckin? Oh, my parents like to go to Breckin.
I was conceived in Breckenridge on a ski and ski out trip.
Breckin Meyer sounds like they make like Christmas cartoons, like the
Breckin Meyer.
It sounds
Breck
like
and Meyer.
Yeah.
Breckin Meyer.
Oh yeah, it sounds like one. It sounds like his full name, his full first name.
Breckin Meyer. Steve Breckenmeyer.
Oppenheimer. he's an important guy.
I don't know what it is, though. I really like Breckin Meyer for some reason in these type of roles. Like, I think it suits him really well.
He plays a very great everyman.
Yeah,
is that? I think that's, you've used that term before, Sean. Like.
Relatable.
Very relatable. Very much like he is the grounding for this movie. Like, and to do that as the main character, I think is pretty well done. And so, but he is the everyman. He is going through the scenario that you as a person will go through, you know.
We're not as good looking or confident as EL. We're not as smart as Ruben.
Right.
But like, we can more relate to Josh. Like, hey, he's just the everyman guy that's just going through some problems.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I think he's fine. It's cool to see him and Amy Smart reunite in Rat Race too.
Oh yeah,
I like them a lot together in that.
Yeah, I do. I do actually really like Breckin Meyer in this role. There's some other ones that, you know, he's just kind of okay. But I do think my favorite character is Ruben.
Do you really?
I think he's my favorite person in this whole thing. I don't know why. It shouldn't be, but for some reason he is.
He's a bit throwaway for me this movie. Like,
I like him. There's some of his acting, like in other movies that I've seen him in, where he is just kind of the one note ish. He's also always talking with like kind of a smirk going on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Every line he has is like, you know, well, I have something behind my reasoning. What I'm saying.
Yeah. I like that he has that like that unpretentious intelligence.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean? I think
he's not forcing it on you.
I see that.
You know, and it's like. It's like, he's like, of course I'm sure. When it's physics, I'm always sure. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, like we can jump this thing, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But I think Kyle is a great addition to this whole scenario when they decided.
Kyle comes out of nowhere because I don't think he had really done much. What's his name? It's
DJ Qualls.
I remember
DJ Qualls.
I remember just like seeing him and just being, that's the weirdest guy I've ever seen. You know, like it hit me hard that I think they kind of purposely went out to look for an actor that had just some very unique qualities that they could really play off as the absolute nerd
Someone
of nerds.
That was just all neck.
All neck. He's the human embodiment of an ostrich. Yes. You know, that's what we really need here. We just need him to have like, you know, awkwardly wide birthing hips with a neck that. Just says, you know, cut it.
Yeah.
And but when they go and get him, and he's just like, hang on, hang on.
Come in.
He's probably jerking off. And he answers in his underwear.
But then he slides.
What's up, guys?
It's
just, his performance is really, really, really
he
funny.
He is good. And they need him to be the guy with the car.
Yeah.
And does he make the biggest like transformation of anyone in this movie? He kind of does. Like,
yeah, technically,
it's almost
into a
story
piece of shit like them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost a story of, of him coming out of his shell more so than it is Josh.
I love his,
his arc.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, his big arc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. and it got me thinking, we think about this all the time where this movie's almost quarter of a century old. And there are things that get ingrained in us that we don't even know where it came from anymore.
Yeah.
And we talk about it a lot in movies. Was this the movie that brought up the area codes cheating rule?
I thought about this too. I was wondering about this because who says it? EL says it?
EL says it, yeah.
And then Tiffany says it later on.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wait a second. This is ridiculous.
It just because everyone knows that like, oh, yeah, it's not cheating. It was different area codes. Like, but is this where we heard it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never heard that in my entire life.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's one of those.
Well, they said it in Role Models, which is actually kind of funny because the callback in Role Models, the girl in the tent says, and it's not cheating if we're in different area codes.
Because I live in 52302 and we are in 52403, 405 right now.
No, those are zip codes.
Those are zip codes.
Oh, area codes.
Yeah. Area codes. So it's a drivable distance. Yeah.
You know? I misheard everything.
Wow. Wow.
So now do you like this rule?
No.
No. No, not at all.
In fact, my fiance is in 515 right now. I don't like this at all.
Oh, no.
I didn't know about this.
Oh, no.
I didn't set any boundaries.
My fiance
I didn't tell her that we don't follow that rule.
My fiance literally has a different area code than
actually, yeah. We live in the era where you actually have different area codes and you live in the same town.
Yeah. Like if you're in a if you're in a big city, you're fucked.
It doesn't
literally
work.
Like
oh no, it's fine. I have a different area code than you. Oh, what?
What?
You live next door to me. Yeah. Well, I came from
across the street. Super weird. It's just, you know, well, location.
I was going off zip code. I'm sorry.
I think it's like all these unspoken rules that they're talking about. Getting into the car though, and they just manipulate the shit out of Kyle throughout this whole thing. It's like they're just buying all this brand new like camping gear and just bullshit snacks. And you're just like,
Kyle, we need this.
Kyle, we have
this. This is an emergency. What, do you want to sleep in the dirt? It's very, very funny. But it brings me up though when they finally like leave. And it's my favorite transition is when
he's looking out the window.
When
Kyle's just going, and he's just looking out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I've never seen the road before.
Yeah.
He's like way too small. Like, he looks like a child in the back. Like this is the window.
He does. He's just excited to be along for the ride. He really is. He's like, I've never done anything like this in my life, but I love it because it just shows them like kind of going up and over the road, kind of cresting the road. And then it comes back and Tom Green comes back and he's like, so they went to Austin, drove down to Austin. They were like some things, funny things happened, crazy things ensued. And that's it. He's just like, wait a second. So if we go on over here, it's like this story's bullshit.
See, he's done this before. He knows what he's doing.
He's like, he draws them back.
Yes,
in.
He knows what he's doing. It's a test to see, are you following me? Yeah. All right, you want more of this. Okay.
Wait a minute. They were standing around naked? Girls don't just stand around naked. Hey.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. Who's telling the story here, okay? So anyways, there they were. Naked.
The kids
totally
like,
naked.
He's like, hell yeah, man.
With his mom sitting there? Yeah.
Hit it!
If we were on a train to go punch a face, I'm on board.
That's what I'm talking about.
This fucking eighth grader, or whoever it is, with his butt cut, long hair,
Mom?
And his braces, he's getting jacked in the face. I know that the TA, and I know that there's not some great people in this movie, but this kid's he needs to know that he's going to get punched in the face if he comes to this college. Yeah. So we need to get him early and let him know what his life's going to be like.
It's probably going to be EL that does it.
Oh yeah.
And then he's going to have like a life lesson for him later on.
Yeah.
But it's going to be EL that punches him.
Sorry. You don't know who your dad is. 'Cause your mom's sleeping around.
Yeah. Your mom's just willing to bang this guy.
But I bet your dad's an idiot because you are too.
It's like, this is the kid that was going on college visits in ninth grade. You know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck were you doing here?
It felt like one of the kids from Dazed and Confused. Hirschfelder. Yeah. That's exactly who it looked like.
Come on, Hirschfelder. Come on. I was getting there.
Yeah, right.
Your mom's getting there. That's right. Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, your mom's getting there. Tom's Green's getting there with your mom.
Yeah.
I'm not going to punch anybody. I am going to wait till the dog later pees on the carpet and then rub its nose in it forever because it's voiced by Jimmy Kimmel, and I fucking hate Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, wow. Because you're an Aaron Rodgers fan?
No, not that. I just hate Jimmy Kimmel. Oh.
That voice of the dog is Jimmy Kimmel?
No, apparently. It's not.
Yeah.
Hey. No way.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting... I got the munchies real bad. That guy?
Yeah.
That's Jimmy Kimmel. Snack.
That's apparently.
Jeez.
Okay. So you... Right, well, fine. Why don't you just punch Jimmy Kimmel in the face?
Yeah. Okay.
You all right. Go ahead. Yeah.
Nice.
Punch the dog.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
No. He's still innocent.
He would do that, though. If he was about to get punched, he would, like, transform into a dog, so I couldn't do
okay,
it.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. What about you, AJ?
Fucking magicians. No, I want to punch. I want to punch the fucking nerd at the at Austin College.
The guy in the mailroom.
Yeah, like that guy,
wrestling guy.
It's like, yeah, a backslash /episode 2/, and they're being very rude. Call you back.
Okay, cool. I like that one.
That guy needs to be punched more than he already was.
Well, you finish out this scene with the car ramping explosion.
This is amazing.
It really is, because, I mean, this car is genuinely ramping over the thing. Someone did that.
Yeah.
The stunt doubles inside the car are a little rough when you look at it in high definition. But
the mannequins, you mean.
Sorry, the mannequins. But that was a real explosion behind them, right? Like, I don't feel like that was green screen.
Yeah, that was very real.
Do you think they were really far away from it? It was like a lens trick?
Oh, like a perception. Could have been.
It seems like a pretty tame explosion to me. Like a lot of these things are just like, I'm sure it was just fire and glass broke.
Okay.
They just made it happen at the same time. It was just like an explosion of fire. Like you would, the Jaws ride.
Okay.
Pretty gotcha. Much.
It's still really cool though. Yeah. It's very effective.
I love this though, because it's the same thing as, you know, EL is the chaos factor of this movie, much like a John Bender.
Okay.
So in the sense of, like you said, Mike, if EL didn't push for them to watch the movie, they would have never gone on the trip. If EL didn't spit across this thing, they would have hit that bridge and it would have fallen, collapsed right underneath them. So EL is actually facilitating and keeping everybody, like, in this case, almost kind of safe, because he's like... It's 10 feet. I could spit across this thing. And like the way he just like gets that hawk just like ready to go and just falls all down and shit. He's like, better make it 75. Just make sure. Like it's very funny. But if he didn't spit across that bridge,
okay,
they would have fucking died.
You're right.
I think that like this is funny, but I think it could have been way funnier because they cut to... He spits and they cut to a wide of the bridge falling. And that's a funny wide shot. Yeah. I think they should have done the same thing, like a Big Lebowski kind of thing with the car ramping, because it should have been
the same exact
shot.
They
shot this thing with like 9 different cameras.
You're right,
and that's funny too. And make it slow motion. That's funny. But I think it should have been just like one locked off. Like, cause you build it up like, yeah. Okay. 75. We're going to do this. It's going to work.
Like when he crashes into the dumpster. Yes. Is that what you're talking
about? Oh yeah. It's going to work. It's going to work. Yeah. 75. We'll ramp it. We're going to be just fine. It should have been a wide shot of the car. Just going, Like it would have been so much better.
He's right.
Yep.
You're absolutely right.
Just a little directing note for Todd.
This one, yeah.
Remember that next time, Todd.
He'll need that for next time, because I totally agree with you. I think they used a lot of their action budget on this scene right here. You're right,
because I'm sure that was very heavy in the trailer. That kind of wow, they ramped a car over a bridge on a road
trip.
Yeah, it probably had to be in there.
You do realize we have to get up to 765 or something, like whatever he says. He's like, I'm trying. This car sucks. Like the fact that they're just insulting Kyle's car.
The only one they have, and they pretty much stole.
That sounds about right, though, for that age range of like, hey, thank you for being here and at least giving a car to us, but it sucks.
Yeah, this car
is a piece of shit.
Like, and then he even says it afterwards. He's like, my father is going to kill me. He's like, Don't stop worrying about it, Kyle. The car sucked anyways, man. Like, it's just like, it was a, like, it's just disrespecting his things that he had.
Yeah.
It's very, very funny.
Well, let's move on to scene three. So they continue on foot, stopping at a motel, and they realize they're out of money and credit. Looking for transportation, EL persuades a blind woman, Brenda, at a school for the blind into letting him take the bus for repairs, and they resume the journey. Meanwhile, Kyle's father, Earl, discovers the card is maxed. Believing Kyle has been kidnapped, Earl begins searching for him. Josh calls to ask for an extension on his midterm. Jacob answers the phone, impersonating the professor and granting a fake extension. What about this blind lady scene? Like,
it could have been way worse. I thought they were gonna have him like go like for her boobs or some shit. Like,
it felt like I kind of was like, oh no.
Yeah,
I cringed a bit when this scene started, going, oh no, what's gonna happen?
I like that the joke was on him, and her senses were so high. She was just like, you're fucking with me, aren't you? Yeah.
It's a great. That's one of my favorite middle fingers in cinematic history.
Oh wow,
okay. It's a that good comes middle up finger out of nowhere. Like, it's very good.
Yeah.
But I love it because I love the transition into this bus instead of the Ford Taurus.
Right.
I think it changes the vibe of the road trip.
It's really fun.
It allows them to do more stuff.
You're totally
like
right.
Better shots. That,
the
scene of them, whatever that song montage was where they're like, was it a Kiss song?
It was Twisted Sister.
Yeah, I Wanna Rock. It allows that to happen better.
Reminding me of Detroit Rock City where they are singing listening to... oh my gosh. Where they're just arriving to Detroit and they're all like kind of singing out the car to oh my god, Cheap Trick.
Yes. Cheap Trick. Sorry. Okay, yeah.
I love that scene. It reminds me of, it's just like a good like we're all buddies, we're having a fucking good time, you know.
They've crested this moment of being they're a group now. Like, even Kyle's a part of this group now. You know what I mean? And it does add a lot to the camaraderie, which speaking of which, that song, how does this have a better soundtrack than Empire Records?
Thank you, dude.
What Literally. The hell?
Thank you.
This soundtrack, you got Beck in the beginning, like,
and they just did it right. Like, there's a lot of nobodies on this soundtrack, but the songs are just better songs, and they just fit.
And they feel iconic.
Goddamn right, it's a beautiful day.
I was looking up the soundtrack as I was watching the movie and be like, what song is this? Yes. I need to know it.
And no, that's it wasn't Beck. It's somebody else, actually, I think.
But that's not a Beck song.
That's not a Beck song.
They're literally unknowns. Like, a lot of these people that the band that played in the house party was called the KGB.
The KGB, yeah.
Which I've never heard of, nor will I ever hear of.
A Black Eyed Peas song, Jungle Brothers, Ash. Yeah.
Dude, they had Run DMC.
They just did it.
Are you thinking of Ween, maybe?
I might be thinking of Ween. Okay. There was another one, like Dr. Eels or something like that, or Mr. Eels. I don't know.
But that is the equivalent. It had to be a... Actually, I want to take this back. Like, we're talking about two movies that have to have good soundtracks. A Record Store and A Road Trip.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
They both have to have good
soundtracks, and like Empire Records just didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for... Because you guys, obviously... I was going to ask you the question of if you've ever gone on a road trip like this. You obviously have because you toured in a band.
Yeah.
Washed up.
Yeah. You know. But like this I feel sorry for no one who did this.
I know.
Yeah.
Dude, we drove to Daytona, 18-year-olds, we were still in high school, we went to Daytona for a week and drove four dudes in a car there and back, and it was like one of the greatest memories I have in my entire life.
It was like even going to 2 hours away to Des Moines to catch a concert or something like that with your pals.
It felt like
you know, you just pass around the phone or pass around the iPod at the time, you know? That was awesome.
I honestly, like, one of my fondest memories is like... It could be its own damn movie too, but was my dad and his buddies took me and their sons and stuff like that on this road trip. We got this camper, and then halfway down to, we were going to Talladega to literally watch like the Talladega race, NASCAR,
Ricky Bobby.
And Ricky Bobby. Yeah. It was when Ricky Bobby was coming out.
No shit.
Will Ferrell was there to say, gentlemen, start your engines.
Nice.
That's how cool it was. We get halfway there. This thing blows out, of like course. Blows out tires, and we end up packing all this stuff, everything we can, into a minivan with literally like six or seven guys. But it's one of the fondest memories I have.
It's awesome.
What should be like a terrible time. It was fucking awesome.
And that's how this movie
is.
That's how this movie is. I mean, they're literally at the bottom of the barrel and they're sitting at this restaurant like having a great time. this is our introduction to Horatio Sanz.
Yeah.
And I think it was most of the world's. I mean, he was Upright Citizens Brigade and Saturday Night Live in 98. But those are all very small roles. And this being his first movie role, like him as the fucking cook. How many takes did that take for him to do the throw it over his head and land it in his pants?
Yeah.
Look, he kind of reminds me of what's the dude on The Bear. Like he looks like him a lot. And to see him like do the chef role, I'm like, oh shit, is that like where that dude got it? No, it was crazy. Like I'm sure, because he looks confident while doing it too. Yeah. Like he's a good actor.
He's done this before.
Yeah. Horatio Sanz is so, I think he's an underrated performer in general.
Yes.
But man, that little cameo of him just makes this entire scene perfect.
Yeah.
If it would have been some grubby guy, like no-name guy who like does this, it wouldn't have worked as well. You have a Horatio Sanz being the nicest guy, and then just absolutely, literally fucking your French toast.
I really like how they're like, "Oh, he's a nice guy." It's like, he's a nice guy.
Nice guy.
I think this is Kyle's finest moment. He goes, "It's good."
It's good.
I think they had to keep redoing. No, give me more. Act more like a little kid. Keep bringing it. Come on, Kyle. Like it's good.
I just can't have too much sugar in the morning.
You piece
I'm sorry,
of shit.
Sir. I said no powdered sugar. I just can't have a lot of sugar.
I'm so sorry.
It's like you're about to drench these in fucking syrup, you bitch. Like. Oh, I'm sorry about that, buddy. I'll get that fixed up for you right away.
Can we keep going on the cameo train?
Yeah, you want
to? It seems Fred Ward,
dude. Fred Ward and Matt Walsh and Matt all Walsh. Being in here.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah, dude.
We got to talk about the Jarrett Layoff Confused Breakfast Actor Database here if you want to talk about this. First of all, big props to Jarrett Layoff. This man, the reason we named it after him is he has compiled all the actors in every single movie we've done and rated them by how many's on there. Thank you, Jarrett, for doing God's work here. But
it's so cool to refer to. It's awesome.
There's no real breakouts in this. I mean, Fred Ward, that's his second. But we have four actors that this is their third movie they've done. Sean William Scott, Amy Smart, Anthony Rapp, and Matt Walsh.
Really?
Amy Smart was, yeah, I can tell you what it was here. Amy Smart was Starship Troopers, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
remember she was in there?
She's her friend in the pilot school, yeah.
Matt Walsh was actually in...
Role Models.
He was in Role Models. He was in Christmas with the Cranks. And Road Trip.
That's the best part about that movie.
Thank you. It's like, dude, Matt Walsh saying, you know, if I had to guess... I'd say somebody was murdered and raped here last night. What the hell makes you say that? Just a feeling.
He's not been to many crime scenes. Just a feeling.
Just a feeling.
Did they say something about there's not any semen?
Yeah.
We couldn't find any semen.
Luckily, no semen yet.
Yet. I think that says something more about where the car's located at.
Yeah.
I think they're like, yeah, this is butt... Turd County.
Yeah, Butt Turd County,
Alabama. Yeah. That happens there a lot.
This is poop pushing county. This is where we're at.
Well,
what
do you think about Fred Ward being the dad in this? Though?
Love it. I mean, he's just amazing. And everything I see him in, he's just like that guy.
It's a great,
He's commanding.
Every movie he's in, his name is Earl. Like, I think it's Earl in Tremors. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it is.
That's crazy. I love that. He's just a man. Like a Marlboro, and to see him in a comedy like this is so much fun.
What do you call it when you make a movie about someone where someone else plays that person? Is that a biopic?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I came to the conclusion that if a biopic is ever made about Fred Ward, John Barenthal has to play him.
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
Like they are.
I wanted them to be a father son thing, like in a.
Fred
state.
Ward passed away though, didn't he? I think he passed away.
Oh, no. Yeah. Like if they had like a Stand Your Ground type of action movie.
Fuck yeah.
And it was Fred Ward and John Barenthal. Oh,
dude. Put it in my veins.
I am.
Wouldn't that be sick?
Can you just see Fred Ward throwing a double barrel old shotgun to John Barenthal and then John Barenthal loading in a couple of rounds. Like you got it.
I will butt chug that movie. I will do it right now.
I will watch you do that.
I will overdose on that movie. You know what else I'll do? I will turn it into something that can. It's fine. What do you got?
All right.
I'm Sean.
All right, ready for this fan theory here? You never thought there'd be a fan theory in Road Trip, but We're going back to Tremors here, guys. Earl from Tremors lived in Perfection, Nevada. He battled graboids. That was his thing. After the events in Tremors 2 took place, Earl used his newfound riches to operate a graboid-themed amusement park called Earl's Monster World. It opened in 96. It was a huge success. In 98, he sold it to Disney for a buttload of money and decided his time in the desert was over. So he moved back home to New York. The week he got back, he ran into Cookie, his old girlfriend from the early 80s when he lived in New York State. They had a huge blowout fight the night before he moved to Nevada to work on an oil rig, and they hadn't spoken since. It turns out that she got pregnant that night and had a son named Kyle that is Earl's. Oh. Out of pride, she refused to never tell Earl, but as he got older, he kept asking who his real father was. Earl was overjoyed to find out he had a son, and him and Cookie reconciled, got back together. He spent the next couple years doing everything he could to get to know his son Kyle and provide for him, but the fact that he'd missed out on the majority of Kyle's life really caused some major conflicts between them. In fact, Kyle didn't have a dad growing up, so he's kind of just a pussy. Like, he doesn't have that man's man in him, so he's been trying to like put this man in him, and Kyle's like, I can't, you know? So he pulls some strings to get Kyle to go into college, gives him a car, gives him credit cards, but it doesn't make their relationship any better. It culminates in road trip when Earl finds out that Kyle's credit cards were maxed out and the car was destroyed.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
What do you think about that?
I like that.
Get some man in him. Yeah, I know I said that. We're going to gloss over that.
It looked at each other.
He just wants to get some man in him.
He's just trying to put that man in him, you know?
I did do that with my hands, too. I think I moved my hands
out. Get that man in him.
Yeah, you know.
That's not what I meant.
You'd send him off to college, get that man in him, you know?
That's not what I meant. Tremors and Road Trip are in the same universe, okay?
Yeah, right, I love it.
I'm all for it.
Well, what about Tremors 3? Technically, he comes back.
It says that his last name is Walters.
No way. Kyle looks way more like Kevin Bacon.
Well, let's move on to scene 4. Oh. So, meanwhile, Beth has taken the bus to Boston University because some of the misinformation given from Barry. Beth tells a different Tiffany that she's cheated on him with her boyfriend, and Tiffany trashes her boyfriend's car and beats him up. Along the way, Kyle loses his virginity at a fraternity. Josh and EL raise money making deposits at a sperm bank, and they visit Barry's grandparents.
Okay.
We didn't mention, sorry, I just want to make mention, we didn't realize how stupid Jacob actually is. And by the way, Jacob goes looking for Beth at Josh's
dorm room. Yeah.
Like, so that means he must have stopped at hers first. And he's like literally spending his time looking around for Beth, only to go and tell her, haha, your boyfriend screwed.
What an idiot.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, true.
Why didn't you just let this play out? You're an absolute
dumbass. But remember, take away cell phones. Like, how is she going to get that information to him?
True. And like the whole bit of Austin, Massachusetts.
This is my favorite joke of the entire movie. Austin?
That's really good.
Austin, Massachusetts.
Are you here for the feeding?
Wait, you mean, are you here for the feeding? What? No. What? It's not till tomorrow. You're early.
He's like, serious, like, you're early. You're going to have to come back tomorrow.
It's not till tomorrow. It's like, where's Josh? He left. Go see his girlfriend.
What?
Austin? Austin, Massachusetts? Do you mean Boston? I don't know. It's like, sure. So she goes to Boston, Massachusetts?
This whole scene that I read this is probably my favorite part of the movie for this whole...
I think probably mine too, yeah. I just love when we get to the fraternity. What is it?
Yeah,
Kai?
Yeah. It's...
Psi Chi. So how does Ruben know the code?
They don't say. Is it just because he's so smart?
He says that...
He has
his friend or his old roommate or something taught him.
Here it is. Okay. And he says, he basically says, I don't see color. Like, I don't think about that. Which actually... That's correct. So his buddy was black.
Yeah.
And he just never would ever think to be like, oh, well, it's an all black fraternity.
Probably never gone to the fraternity, maybe, you know, or like to the frat house, maybe.
I don't think like that.
I don't think like, I'm sorry. I don't think like about those things.
I like that.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
It's almost like when they go here, they set it up to be like a a joke that it's, oh, well, it's all black, we're outnumbered, pretty much, kind of thing. And then, like, I do like the bit of they find the hood in his bag, or whatever, and that's the prank. It's a good prank.
Which means they had it.
But the which means that they've done this prank to somebody else before.
I love that.
And that makes me happy.
But it goes nowhere.
Right, right.
And, like, they do it, and he passes out, and then he wakes up, and that's it. Like, it just, the movie lost so much momentum as far as, like, a comedy goes to me.
Well,
like,
I think the joke
picks up right after. Yeah. I'm just saying this one was just like, okay, let's get back to
the jokes happened.
You know what I mean?
The jokes happened at while Kyle was passed out. They were all like, yeah, it's really funny.
Exactly.
Like, anytime a white guy comes, we always do this
joke. It was a joke, like, Audi.
Yeah. Like, that, it, like, picks up immediately after, but it's just like,
yeah,
the choice of having him pass out was so weird to me.
Yeah.
Especially on a first time watch, I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And it could have been, it's like, it didn't have to be, maybe this is what you're saying, or maybe it's like they didn't have to black out with Kyle. We could have left the joke running while he's passed out.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Like,
I like
that kind of a thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Like the omniscience, it took me out.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
And so, and I think this is one of the best scenes though, is when that they go in there. And again, the most amazing music choice and some of the camera shots of, like, in front of Kyle, and it's Run DMC. It's Tricky.
Yeah.
And, like, I just, this song, or this scene actually is maybe the one that resonates with me the most, thinking back to it, that they're just at this dope party. And especially after, it's like, it's just EL just saying what everybody knows and thinks. It's like, you do realize this is a black fraternity, right? They know you're not a part of this. It's like, yeah, we know. Like, it's very, very funny.
But these movies capture it. I there's
watch
not
Oprah
a-
every day. It's a joke, Audi.
Joke. There's not a. If you never, I don't know why. Tell me if I'm crazy. The way that I think about college so much is this. And you see it in movies, this ability to walk into a bar or a party, the Emporium shot, right?
Yeah.
Of
dick
that,
first.
Walking in dick first through a party where everything's happening. It happens to Josh earlier in the movie. He walks into the party. He's like, what's up? What's up? Hey, what's up, man? Yeah, give me a drink. Cool. This happens to Kyle and this. Like, that to me is almost a rite of, like, passage of coolness of, like, do you get to experience walking into something like that?
Yeah.
There, like, I will always think fondly on that moment in my, like, walking into a bar and seeing all your friends and the music's loud and you're just, like, drinking, you fucking top of the world moment, you know?
It is.
And these movies play so well on that stuff. Mm-hmm.
They do it really well because, like, all the people that were, like, everyone who was in on the joke against him is just, like, you know, stoked to hand him a drink. And, like you say, he's like one of them now.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the crew. He's involved in this. He's in just as deep as they are. And, you know, the other frat guys are, like, handing drinks. And, like, I love that moment when he wakes up and EL, he's like, I need a wine cooler. He's like, oh, here, take mine. It's just like straight bourbon. And then, like, after that, like, one of the guys who was sitting next to him is handing him a shot. And he's like, oh, no, Kyle. He's like, nah. he's like, I'm not taking any more shots. You can see it on his face. It is this rite of passage, like you say, for Kyle to really be a part of this party.
He's got
to
feel like a cool guy.
Yeah.
And he does.
To be, I guess, like, pretentiously philosophical about it is, like, a party is just, like,
camaraderie,
like, everyone's trying to have a good time, and so everyone's going to make sure everyone's having a good time. And if maybe someone seems a little bit into their shell, we'll try to break them out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be above the joke and then be on top of the world after.
They're very much, it's like in parts, like, laughing with, like, at him and then laughing with him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, that kind of a thing. And it's very fun to see. Yeah.
I love Rhonda.
Rhonda's so awesome.
Dude, that's the best. What she say? She said, let Rhonda handle this baby. Fucking love
She's
it.
She's like, she got a condom?
Yes, man.
She got a condom? He's like, no, well, I bet Tyrese has one or whatever. Yeah. And he goes, yeah, it's behind the mug or to the right of the thing. And he's like, oh, no.
And he just he just says, "Wow, good guess."
Oh, wow.
Good guess.
It's so good. He's like, "I had sex last night with a girl."
With a girl,
and then they get. And then it's just so good.
Yeah, I've had sex before with myself.
He's like, I mean, I've had sex, just not with a person.
What? He didn't have a dad around to teach him, man.
Because remember, where he says it's not cheating if you put peanut butter on your balls to let your dog lick it
he
up.
He doesn't understand the concept.
Because it's your dog. He's like, no, we got him.
No, it's
like,
good.
You got to have a girlfriend to cheat on them. Yeah. Do you understand what's happening
and
here?
And it's like... He's like never with a person. You're like the only person he's had any sexual contact with is apparently this dog now. Gross. And you're just like, this is really fucked.
But it's so cool that he's the cool kid now because they get to the sperm bank and he's like, have any of you had intercourse in the last 24 hours? Welp, I'm out.
That is me out.
And like to think that him, of all these people, he's the only one.
He's the guy who got laid last night.
So awesome. And he gets to be the confident guy that's like, yeah, what's up? I'm out.
Dude, you guys must have had like or seen that friend who has done this, that like that moment, that man moment happens for a buddy or something that just makes them like king of the world. And he's sitting in the bus, just leaned back, like smoking. Like it's like, all right, Kyle, like let us know, like what happened.
I boinked her.
Did you say boink?
We danced. We had a few drinks, and you know, it's like, no, we don't know. It's like, quit being a pretentious dick about it. Just tell us what happened. He's like, did you skin a cheetah? I boinked her.
Boink? No, man, I boinked her.
Skin a cheetah. Jesus Christ.
Such a dick.
Oh, it's like, so good.
These are these great moments. These are these great camaraderie moments that I'm glad we get past like the over the top like raunchiness.
Yeah, yeah.
And we get these like real nice like, you know, bro moments.
You think about the moments you're going to remember for the rest of your life. I still talk about it like these nights that I had in college. Like this is fucking Kyle's night.
Yeah.
Like this is, he's going to remember this for the rest of his life. And they made it happen.
His life changed that night.
Yes, it did.
You know? Yeah. You're 100%
right. He's a different person now.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get to the grandparents, obviously Ellen Albertini Dowell.
Yes.
I say we do an episode where we debate the best grandma of all time on screen. Because she has to be up there,
man.
And even the grandpa, he's the hell yes.
Hell yes.
In like Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of Sandler movies.
Yeah.
Ellen was obviously in Wedding Singer. She was the sweet old lady in that. Like this scene's funny to me. The
I
dog
think it's the funniest bit where he gets up with a boner and knocks over that glass.
What do you want me to do? Cut it off?
What a fucking performance that guy has! Like he knocks off and he's just like, oh, anyway, come this way.
Do you see
like nothing. It's almost like it was an accident. Like for real.
Do you see what he's like? When he's like, oh, let me show you to your rooms. And he grabs like Kyle's hand. He tries to grab Ruben's hand, and Ruben's just like. It's like your boner.
Your boner.
Your boner. What do you want me to do? Knocks the statue. Oh, man, I should have taken the statue that's broken now.
Yep, sorry.
Damn
too
it.
Late, man.
All right, fine.
But before we move on to scene five, I forgot about this. There are these movies that are just so ingrained to pop culture, like quote-wise, that you forget where it came from. And that was that EL moment when he's getting his prostate milked. Mm. And he goes, stop! Oh, no way, keep going.
No, wait, keep going.
Ah, I say that all the time. Stop. All right, keep going. Like, and like you just forget where it, because so many people say the jokes and you're just like, I don't even know where that came from.
I say all the time, no, we got it.
No,
like
we got
all
it.
The time. and you're right. It's not even about quoting the movie. It's just about applying it to the situation.
Yeah.
And that's where it came from. But I don't know. This is a great movie. Wait, Barry's name is Barry Manilow. Little jokes, man. Yeah. They're great. They're great.
Well, and it's also implied Barry at one point says that he's never left the state, but then they say, yeah, Barry told us to visit his grandparents. He used to go here all the time when he was young or something like that.
Yeah.
So is it implied that maybe Barry like actually just lied to him and planned this whole thing out? Like, cause at the end we see the tape that he's clearly recorded over it.
Yep.
Like, did he know? Like, right. He probably already watched it and he's like, cool, I'm going to record over this.
But we're going to
mail it to Tiffany anyway.
Yeah.
So that even if it gets there and she sees it, nothing bad's going to happen, but we're going to send these guys on a road trip.
God.
Cause they need to experience the world.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I had that thought. I don't know if it's true.
It's probably
such
not
a,
true.
That's such a deep cut, because that means also that Ruben did in fact send the right tape, but Barry in fact he recorded over that tape like that morning.
Yes,
that must have been what happened.
Well, and there's some continuity there, like the amount of postage that's on the initial one versus the amount of postage that's on the one she gets is different.
Oh.
So maybe it was a different tape.
Oh. Okay,
maybe it was a different tape.
Because you see the clip of like just before what's her, Beth steps into the frame.
Yep.
But then it's gone and it's the same.
You know what Barry did? Weird. Barry did make a copy of it.
He
and
did.
Kept one for himself and then taped over the original.
He did make a copy. Well, do you have a copy?
If you have a copy, we could watch the copy.
Just watch the copy.
He's got one.
He's 100%. Got a copy all right. of it.
Well, scene five, final scene. When Barry feeds the snake, Beth comes looking for Josh again, and Jacob interrupts. Finally getting to Austin in Tiffany's dorm, Josh intercepts the tape just as she arrives. Earl also bursts in, furious over the car and credit card. Kyle finally stands up to him, and a mini riot ensues. Josh and Tiffany retreat to talk, and she and Josh agree to break up, remaining friends. Then Josh and the crew rush back just in time to take his midterm with a little help from Beth, who called in a bomb threat. Josh and Tiffany start dating. Barry finishes his tour of the campus.
Yeah. Felony for, I'm just going to commit a felony for a guy I banged and videotaped it for.
And she doesn't quite understand how it works, right? Because, you know, like I went to college, like let's say, what did they say, 2 hours later? Two hours later?
Yeah.
You don't just go back into the class, like you have other classes.
Yeah.
They've got other classes to teach.
Right.
You have other schedules and things you have to do. You can't just resume the class or the test. We're going to have to take this at another date.
We're going to do this thing. Yeah, that wouldn't
no,
happen.
No, you can't. No, I you have can't. To go. I have to work.
We have to search this whole damn school for bombs now.
I have to do a midterm at a different building at the time you're trying to do this one. That doesn't work.
Yeah. No, they didn't think that out. She actually thought it out well because she's like, cool, it'll be another day. But the movie didn't think it out well, knowing that this is how it works.
Right.
You don't have one class that you take.
She even asked him, too. Like, she's, I don't know. She's like, I did good, right? And he's like, yeah, my purchase is paying dividends.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. $26 got me a bomb.
I'm so glad I paid $26
for you. $26 got me laid, got me a delay on the midterm.
A fun road trip that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
I mean, wow. Like, this is great.
It'll help hopefully bail me out of jail when I'm having sex in a library and I go to jail for that.
Yeah, while filming it.
While filming it, yeah.
Yeah. Because there's other people in the background of our library sex tape that we didn't get permission from.
No.
Yeah.
And again, I've been in libraries before and nobody has sex
in there.
I've
never seen anybody making out in a library. It seems like an unsexy place to do it.
Probably because they're pretty good at it.
Oh, because I haven't seen them. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
A good defenseman is very unnoticeable, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Okay. So.
I really do love the shot though when he is in Austin and he gets the phone call from Beth and the camera's on his face and it's just the wonder of her in the background opening up the thing and going to put it in there. Because the first time you see it, like hopefully you felt this way, you're like, oh fuck, like turn around, dude, she's gonna open the thing.
Yeah.
But luckily it's not the right tape. But I love that shot of her doing it, like unwrapping it, putting it in there, sitting down, hitting play on it. You see it starts playing in the background. You're like, dude, come on.
It adds some anxiety to the moment for sure.
Yeah.
By the way, we didn't talk about Todd Phillips and his creepy feet thing. Are there any guys that are just normal? That guy?
Yeah.
Pretty fucked up.
He was the creepy guy in the elevator in the Hangover. Mm-hmm. He was, hey, I'm here for the gangbang in Old School. He's the foot fetish guy here in this movie. Like, my God. But he had
it's like, don't worry about showing your tits because I'm a foot guy.
Because I'm going to actually suck on your foot.
It's okay. I'm going to actually put my. He's basically up there with Tarantino.
I was wondering if he was like playing on that or something.
You think so?
I don't know.
He's like, I wrote this scene so that way I could put your toes in my mouth.
Now I'm a director. I like feet.
He had a few movies before this, but this was definitely his big. This was his breakout because then he did Due Date, Old School, all three Hangovers, The Joker.
Wow.
It's pretty insane that he went on to that.
The reaction of it's Barry. It's Barry. It's like, it's what? Barry. Why did you send me this? Like, after all that, if I were any one of the other guys, I still think I would have been kind of pissed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's undoing the video. Like, I'm sorry, take it back to what you're saying. Like, and putting it in and everything. And then it's like, oh my God, no. And then it's just Barry on there. And like, if I was one of the other guys, especially Kyle, maybe not after like what happened at the frat house, but if I were Kyle, I'd be like, you got to be shitting me.
You mean we still don't get to see the sex tape?
Yeah. You mean we went all this way and we still don't get to
that
watch it?
That was kind of the idea. we were all going to get to watch it.
We all came down here. In EL's mind, the only reason he went was to be able to watch it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even get to anymore.
It's bullshit.
It's bullshit, man.
I think the TA goes out very well. Colton, Iowa. Thanks a lot, Road Trip Runners, for saying a Colton, Iowa. We don't have Colts here.
Yeah. Or Colton, Iowa.
Maybe the Hawkeyes. It's
so,
it's
so great he died, though, too. Oh, dude. Like, I'm a big fan of that ending.
He started a cult and tried to put together a mass suicide, but he drank the Kool-Aid first, and everyone else just kind of changed their minds.
Oops. It makes too total bad. Sense for his character.
Too bad.
It's a great
Tom Green's reaction. It's so funny.
Oops. Too bad.
Too bad.
It is great, though. I guess this would have just ended kind of with that, but we almost, now I'm changing my tune on the Tom Green being the narrator of the story, because we kind of need it at the end here, right? Just the and everything tied up real nicely.
And this guy went on to this, and they're still together with that.
How many years later do we think this is? I used to always feel like this was just a couple months later.
Feels like it.
But I think it's multiple years later.
Unless, you know, they're out of college now, and Josh and Amy Smart.
Beth
just like banging in random
libraries. Oh, they don't even go to school there anymore? They just bang in libraries?
Maybe.
I wonder, because, we don't really get any sort of idea. We know that Tom Green has been in there in college for 8 years, but it doesn't allude to how long he had been in when this whole thing went down, true. I guess. So I feel like it's like a two-year thing. You know what I mean? I feel like that's kind of like reasonable because like they went on to do other things, you know, EL actually got.
Oh yeah. It had to take some time for EL to do that.
Yeah.
And for Ruben to do his thing.
Yeah.
EL still holds a yearly auction of women.
Yep.
Beth and Josh go to it just to support their buddy.
It would have taken EL a lot of time to build up to three fingers, probably too.
Very true.
I mean, let's be honest.
That's at least a year.
I'd say you've got to have. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. And Ruben became High Times Man of the Year, and he put that all together. He became a scientist.
Yep.
So
that's amazing.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys.
Well, boys, you got anything else to say on this whole thingy?
No.
We have talked about it with a modern eye, stripped away all the nostalgia. It is time to give it a modern day rating. I guess I got to start, right, since I started.
Dare you.
I don't think... This is one of those movies where I'm never probably going to seek it out on purpose. But when I do, if I happen to walk in on it, or it's on TV or someone else is playing it, it's going to be a blast. It's how I feel about all of those movies. Like I don't search it out, but then when I watch it, I'm always like, God, that's fun. Those groups of friend movies, I just love it. It's a bit of a hangout movie in sorts, but different version of it. It's not the best. It's not the best movie of that group. It's not one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Yeah,
but it is what it is, and I enjoyed this rewatch. I'm glad we did it. I'm gonna be a 6.3. That might sound harsh, but I feel like that's where this movie needs to lie. It's not a masterpiece, but it's a lot of fun. 6.3 for me. Sean, what about you, man?
This being my first time watching it this morning, I had a really good time with it. I got to be honest. Like, I'm not the audience anymore for these kinds of movies. Like, I was even skeptical to do Role Models just because I was like, I don't care about fart jokes anymore unless they're done smart. You know, to be pretentious, like, oh, Scorsese, cinema lover kind of thing. It's not like that. I love stupid movies like this just to turn on a Sunday afternoon, you know? I really liked it. The cast is fucking great.
Yeah.
Like Amy Smart and Breckin Meyer is the best thing I've seen him in.
Yep.
Everyone else is great. And I love Fred Ward. I love the road trip aspect of it. It's basically a road movie. They just get into shenanigans. I love those types of movies. I'm the same as you. I'm a 6.3.
6.3 from Sean. AJ, what about you, man?
I think the biggest movie we have to compare this to is obviously American Pie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like this movie a lot better than I like American Pie. I don't know exactly the reasoning, though, because in all honesty, I probably shouldn't. But I think it does have to do with the casting. I think I love a good road trip movie. And I think it's just put together. I just think it's a little bit more put together better. I don't know. I think... I do honestly think that, in my personal opinion of how often I would watch like this or American Pie, I would be twice as apt to watch this movie instead of American Pie. And then I realized I'd be way more apt to watch this movie than like American Pie. I didn't rate American Pie very well.
No, none of us really did.
No. And so I do. I really like all the casting of this. I think that it's put together well. I think that the jokes are fun. I think it's honestly because there's a lot more camaraderie of this movie than anything else. And and by the way, they mention Iowa, so you got to give them a point for that. Even though it's a cult thing, but it's fine. It's fine. They mention Iowa.
We got more stuff than cults.
Yeah, there's more here.
Cults are fun.
So I will give this a 6.6.
6.6. Nice. We got to go to executive producer Josh Miller. He says, I'd be lying if I said that I hadn't seen this movie since 2000 when it came out. I've certainly seen it a handful of times since then, but after watching with a critical, confused breakfast eye, shocker, it's a much better movie if you don't pay too close attention. Nah. I know that sounds crazy. This movie is a time capsule of the late 90s, mini DV cameras, VHS players, Tom Green, the Blockbuster video cases under the TV. That's a rush right there. Why does he have so many, and why are they organized in a manner that makes you think he's had them a while? Did I mention Tom Green? There was the colorful iMac that cemented the return of Apple, the Nintendo 64. Yes. Did you guys catch the letter he sends to Tiffany in the beginning? The return zip code is New York, New York, not upstate Ithaca, and delivery zip isn't Austin. It's Des Moines. No way. I didn't look at that.
Really? I didn't see that.
I didn't notice it.
Oh, man.
The cast of this movie could mostly be considered up-and-comers in Hollywood at this time, and none of them really struck it big. Sean William Scott was probably the most successful, but unfortunately, he became 100% typecast. Amy Smart was the cute girl next door type that really only went on to do what? The Butterfly Effect and AJ's favorite, Just Friends. Tom Green killed his career with Freddy Got Fingered, using the words killed very, very loosely. It's certainly been a handful of years since I've seen this, but back in the day, if this was on cable, satellite TV, I may not immediately stop to watch this. I would though, come back to it if I couldn't find anything better. In today's modern day of streaming platforms and almost unlimited choices, I see this movie continually falling down my list of watches. This very well could have been the last time I watched this. Not because it's bad, but I feel there's always something better to be rewatched or seen for the first time. I'll tell you what, though, this got me rethinking of so many more movies that you guys need to cover. It's almost like you guys will call it quits before you run out of movies to review 32.7 years from now. This modern score certainly falls from an unrealistic 7.4 to a respectable 6.0. So that takes us to a 6.05 as a group modern day rating, which I think is going to put us right here. We go 6.05. That's the 119th spot. That is right below Twister and Heavyweights, right above Boondock Saints and Waterworld is where we feel about that. Bottom 30, roughly, but it's not bad.
I'm okay with it there.
It's better than some movies.
Like I said, for me anyway, this is like a perfect, this is on Starz channel. I'm going to fucking watch it. Like I saw people talking about Sex Drive. I think that's an underrated one like this. I can't wait to get to that. But those are the kind of times that I would watch those movies.
Totally. Yeah. This Euro Trip. Those are the ones that I have a lot of fun when they're on.
Euro Trip's going to get covered. I mean, that is the famous Matt Damon.
Yeah.
The most best fictional band of all time is in that movie. So we have to cover that.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the episode. Thanks for being here. Tune in next week. We discuss 1989's Heathers, followed by Cliffhanger.
Oh, man.
And if you're new to the podcast, go back this time last year. Out Cold, a nice winter movie for you in the cold months. That is a very fun episode.
Heck yeah.
I think we gave Out Cold a much higher rating, I believe, than we did this.
I think so.
And I will tell you while AJ talks.
Oh, well, that's just fine. I'll talk about something
actually,
now.
It's not very high. It's about 10 higher. There you go.
Ten
movies higher.
10 movies higher. Okay. I was like, well, 10's the highest score, Mike. No, it's fine. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us here in the studio on YouTube. We know that you're hanging out with us on YouTube. And we just want your feedback. You guys, check out the new studio. We want to hear from you with a 5-star review. Leave us a review. We love reading those when we get a chance. And by all means, check us out on social media. If you're not following us on social media, but you made it through this whole episode, what the hell are you doing? Follow us on social media at Confused Breakfast. Just search for Confused Breakfast, guys.
I was at my fiance's work party last night, and someone named Jamie came up to me and said he really liked the show. So shout out, Jamie. Thanks for checking out the show. You can check out our merch at ConfusedBreakfast.com. You can get some shirts, koozies, whatever you want. Think of it, we fucking have it. ConfusedBreakfast.com as well to see the ratings of the movies we've covered. You can see AJ's ratings. You can see my ratings. You can see Mike's ratings and the show's ratings overall. Love you. Goodbye.
Speaking of last night, Tabitha of the Deck Diaries podcast and her boyfriend Ben both were like, "You fucking love your podcast." So shout out to those guys. We love hearing that. It's still a wild thing to hear when somebody random's like, "Hey, I love your podcast." Like, it's still mind blowing.
It's really cool.
I had a guy named Wade last night come up to me and say, "Dude, just love the podcast. Like, just want to let you know, like, you know."
This is the new segment where you have to find us in public and come up to us and go, "I love it." And then we'll be like, "What's your name?" And then you'll be like, "Steve." And I'll be like, "Okay, cool. Listen to the next episode, Steve."
Yeah.
It's a new segment.
I just really appreciate that. It's very kind of you to come up and say that to us. So it's really neat.
Well, yeah, please support our sponsors, HelloFresh, Cedar Ridge. You can actually sponsor us by going to patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. We are produced by the Upload Media Group in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. We got Craig on the controls. And we're on the Cloud 10 iHeart Podcast Network. Learn more at cloud10.fm. That's it for us. Goodbye.
Hey guys, I'm Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Ombudson.
And we're the hosts of your new favorite show, The Psychologist RN. Each week, we go episode by episode talking about our favorite moments from psych, sharing behind the scenes stories, incredible memories, and even have drop-ins from our best friends and fellow casting crew. If this sounds up your alley, listen to The Psychologist RN on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.